that's heaving like an ocean, and you're drowning in a deep, dark well. I can hear it in your voice that if you only had a choice, you would rather be anyone else. I love you just the way that you are. I love the way he made your precious heart. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. I know it's hard to hear it when that anger in your spirit is pointed like an arrow at your chest. When the voices in your mind are anything but kind, and you can't believe your father knows best. I love you just the way that you are. I love the way he's shaping your heart. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. Oh, how does it end when the war that you're in is just you against you against you? Gotta learn to love, learn to love, learn to love your enemies too. You can't expect to be perfect. It's a fight you gotta forfeit. You belong to me, whatever you do. So lay down your weapon, darling, take a deep breath, and believe that I love you. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. Gotta learn to love, learn to love, learn to love your enemies too. Learn to love, learn to love, learn to love your enemies too.
Thank you for those words and that beautiful song. The next thing I want to do is thank you all so much for being here to celebrate this special time with our graduates and their families. And I thank you all for your constant support for these kids and this youth ministry, whether it be financially or prayerfully, or just seeing them in the hallway and encouraging them. As many of you already know, one of the core values of the youth ministry here at Calvary is that we spend a lot of time looking at and being with the words and life of Jesus Christ. Our thinking is that we only have these kids for a short amount of time between when they get to youth group and when they graduate and go off into college and begin to do their own thing. And outside of their family and their church and maybe a few friends, sadly these kids are immersed in a culture where they are constantly surrounded by things and people who are drawing them further away from the heart of Christ. Our goal by the time they graduate is to simply just get Jesus on their radar and at the very least get them wrestling with their own faith. How we relate to him, what it looks like to follow and obey him. Why is he even worthy of our love and obedience? What his words and life mean for us right now in our daily decisions and words and relationships? We want kids to continuously process these things in their own hearts and lives, all while making sure that we are giving them plenty of opportunities to respond on their own. Jesus' words and life and how we relate to him on a personal level must be vital for all of our lives as Christ followers. And we must keep reintroducing him and pointing kids to him in the hopes that he begins to stick a little bit at a time to their hearts and pour out a little bit at a time into their lives. If when our kids get to this critical point in their lives, graduation, and we can honestly say that we as a church family and me as a youth minister have done this to the best of our ability, then I feel pretty good about these kids' chances as they go on into the next chapter of their lives. The difficult part, of course, for all of us is that we ultimately can't control what our kids do with all of this. We can't make them fall deeply in love with Jesus or make them decide to follow him. That's up to the Holy Spirit and how these kids are choosing to respond to it. What we can do, and I hope that we do, is love them unconditionally, show them grace and forgiveness when they mess up, show them what humility looks like, show them what compassion for others and serving others looks like, pray for and encourage them constantly, tell them hard things and not just the things they want to hear that make them feel good. Have fun and spend time with them and point them to Jesus in everything that we think, say, and do. And I hope and pray that as a church family and as the youth ministry here at Calvary, that we are doing those things. So in light of how often we talk about the words and life of Jesus as a youth group, I've asked each of our graduates to think about and choose a gospel story or passage that they can relate to the most, or one that means something for their life and their own personal faith journey. But before I let them share those with you all, I wanted to take some time and talk a little bit about each graduate. Each of these graduates has a special place in my heart, and each of them has brought something unique to the dynamic of our youth group over the years. This is a special class for me, not only because I have a good relationship with all of them, but all three of these graduates were getting ready to enter sixth grade when I started here at Calvary. They're the first class of kids here at Calvary that I've walked with all the way through from 6th to 12th grade. And I'm so thankful that these kids and their families have allowed me to invest in their lives. And I hope that our time, graduates, has been just as fun and fruitful for you guys as it has been for me. So I'm going to start with Jarrett. Jarrett was one of the first kids that I really connected with here at Calvary when I first met him back in 6th grade. He was fun to be around, and he enjoyed being at church and at other youth events. He would show up to everything, and he always had a happiness about him and a great attitude about whatever was going on. He was my most consistent kid for sure. We spent a lot of time together over the years. Jarrett has shown up. He's been faithfully involved in youth and young life the whole time I have known him. Jarrett, my hope and prayer for you is that all the things that you've heard and felt and experienced over these last 7 years, that they begin to transform your heart and pour out into your life. That those things begin to mold your heart and shape your faith in a real way. Hang on to those things and let Jesus become the one who rules in your heart. One funny story about Jarrett is when Jarrett was in seventh grade, he goes to the beach every summer with his family. And so while he was there, he had a personalized sticker made especially for me. And many of you have probably seen that sticker on the back of my car. It says Mom Car. You see, Jarrett loves vehicles. And when I met him, he thought it was very hilarious that I drove an apparently mom-looking SUV. And when we would drive in the car together, I would like swerve to miss mud or something, and he'd make fun of me. So he went out of his way on this family vacation to have this sticker made just for me. And I've owned it. I've owned up to it ever since. You know, even though I keep telling people that my car is all-wheel drive, which I think should count for something, right? Right? That sticker's been on my car for 6 years, you know, and it's not going anywhere until I get a new car. And then don't put a sticker on my new car. Jarrett, thank you for showing up. Thank you for letting me tell you hard things. Even though we butted heads sometimes, everything I ever said to you is because I love you and I want the best life for you. Thank you for letting me be in your life. Now my man T Money. That's Tristan for all of you who don't know. There's one story that immediately jumps out at me when I think about the time I've spent with Tristan. Every fall, our county takes about 200 high school kids to a Young Life weekend camp to love on them and spend time with them and share the gospel with them. The first Young Life camp trip that Tristan took with me was to Rockbridge, and it was the fall during his freshman year of high school. And there's always one night at Young Life camp where they give kids an opportunity to spend some alone time with God. This happens after kids get a chance to hear from a speaker about who Jesus is and what he has done for them on the cross. So they hear a speaker talk to them about Jesus, and then they do this night. And they call this alone time with God 15 minutes. It lasts 15 minutes. So on this particular night of camp, after the speaker gives his talk about who Jesus is and what he has done for us, they send kids out in the camp to find a quiet space to be alone, so that for 15 minutes they can spend some time talking to and being with the God of the universe and thinking about what they have been hearing throughout the week. They turn all the lights off in camp so that there's nothing but darkness and the bright shining stars, and kids are alone and quiet with God in their thoughts. And if we think about it, how often does that happen in our kids' lives? The way I'm describing it probably doesn't do it a whole lot of justice, but it's a beautiful thing to watch and be a part of. But after this 15 minutes, the kids go back to their cabins and they talk about their experience with their leaders and their friends. So Tristan's freshman year at camp, we hear the talk about, you know, Jesus and what he did on the cross for us. And we go out and we do the 15 minutes and we come back into the cabin to talk about it. And there's about 15 guys from North Surrey High School sitting around in a circle in our cabin. And I'm going around asking everyone about their 15 minutes. And I get to Tristan and I say, "Tristan, how was your 15 minutes?" And he opened up his mouth like he was going to say something, and all he did was cry. And I remember thinking to myself, that's being moved by the gospel. That's real right there. And I talked to him afterwards, and he said he had never done anything like that before. He had never sat and thought about the reality of who Jesus is and what he has done for him and what that means for Tristan's life. And his heart had this overwhelming feeling, and I believe that was a transforming moment in Tristan's life. And since that moment, I have seen Jesus at work at him and pouring out of him in obvious ways. Tristan carries himself with a joy and a love and a freedom and a peace of heart that radiates Jesus in many ways and that you definitely don't see in many high school kids. He isn't afraid to cry and get real, and he isn't afraid to dance or look silly in front of others. Tristan, thank you for all that you are. Thank you for allowing me to walk with you through it all. And now my sweet, sweet, precious Evan. Evan has been so good for our youth group. She's always been a leader to everyone in our youth group, especially, I think, for the younger girls. She's always had a strong presence and voice in our youth group, and she has never been afraid to share that voice in youth group. Often she's the only one who talks in Sunday school, but her thoughts and her words help us all learn and grow in our faith. And this is a special thing because kids are often afraid to share their struggles and their faith and talk about it in a real way, especially in front of other kids. Her words have always been real. They've always been vulnerable. They've always been honest. Evan has always sought after truth in Scripture. She wants to know what God has to say about things that are going on in her life. And if you haven't spent a lot of time with Evan, it's easy to see that Jesus has gradually been working in her heart in many ways. I've watched Evan grow into a humble leader on the ball field. I've watched her grow into a young woman who seeks to get her identity from Christ alone and not from other things or other kids. Watching Evan grow over these last 7 years has been so fun to watch and be a part of. But nobody knows more about her growth in Christ than her parents, Doug and Amelia. Evan has been super active in our youth group and in our church family. But she hasn't come to every Sunday night Bible study, and she hasn't been able to come to many retreats or mission trips because of her schedule. But I've never once worried about how Evan is walking with the Lord, because I know that Amelia and Doug try to point her to Jesus in every way in their home. I know for a fact that God is a part of their conversations and that what Jesus said and did are a part of their decisions. And I know that Amelia and Doug both exude the love of Christ in their own lives and relationships. And their daughters see that and get to be around that, and it has a lot to do with how Evan and even Maggie and Jesse are turning out. These girls' faith are being shaped by their parents' love of God and love of others in a real and evident way. And because of this, Evan has grown into her own faith and has begun to figure out all of this Jesus stuff on her own. And so I asked Amelia how she has seen Evan grow. And this is what she said. Evan asks for God's direction and believes he will respond. In other words, she seeks Jesus for advice and trusts in his name and not her own. Evan is aware of his presence because she recognizes when he offers a calm in her storms. Evan desires contentment in Christ Jesus, even though it's hard to follow him in this world that high school kids have to live in. She wants his will for her life, and she knows how important it is to try to stay in that place. Evan has learned how to trust God in her circumstances. She has figured out how to just be still and know that he is God, and that she doesn't need to understand it or know why as much as she needs to simply trust and believe it. Finally, Amelia said that Evan has shown growth by placing his purpose above her own. She allows little things in her heart and life to be put to death so that Christ can live there in its place. Evan, thank you for your constant willingness to grow and seek after Christ, no matter what that meant for your pride. Thank you for always sharing your life and struggles with me and other kids in our youth. Thank you for allowing me into your life and inviting me on your faith journey. God and his amazing love are clearly at work in all three of our graduates. But my question for you three to think about every day when you wake up is, how are you going to respond to it? How are you responding to it? How are his love for you and his words in life affecting your daily decisions and how you talk and treat others? That is what this has all been about. God's love pouring into you through the words and life of Christ Jesus, and how you're responding to that so that it can overflow into your life and your relationships and your decisions and your words and bring others closer to him through that. This is my hope and prayer for each of you as you move on into the next chapter of your life, that you fight hard to believe in who Jesus is and what he has done for you, and that you fight hard to choose him above all the other distractions that are constantly demanding your life, attention, and heart space. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." There's a couple of things I want you guys to hear in that passage. First, know that Jesus made you for himself. You each belong to him. He is calling you. He wants you. How are you responding to that? You won't be perfect along the way because we are all broken and live in a fallen world. But it's an everyday battle to give ourselves to Jesus and to follow him. So strive to want and desire the things that Jesus wants and desires for your heart and your life as he remakes you daily in his image. Next, always keep your eyes on the prize. We are promised a great reward, which is fellowship with Jesus himself now and for eternity. And that is a gift that sadly we often take for granted. We often settle for chasing after things like more money, a nicer car, a bigger house, more social media followers, a greater social status, a greater job status, or even a certain girl or guy. And these things will most certainly not fill the void in your hearts or satisfy the deepest desire of your souls. Only Jesus can do that. And what an abundant and simple and joyful life that we get to live when we finally realize that. So in every conversation and decision that you guys make in this life, keep your eyes and heart focused on the cross. I want you graduates to know that life doesn't get easier from here. It's going to get harder. But Jesus never promised us perfect lives if we follow him. But one thing he did promise us is that he will never leave us, and that he will walk alongside of us through life if we will just get up and grab his hand. Graduates, I hope that you hang on to the things that you have heard and experienced while you've been a part of this church family and a part of this youth ministry. and that it goes with you. And please know that this church family has supported you and loved you and prayed for you and given money for you throughout your time here in youth ministry. And that doesn't stop now. This church family will always be here for you guys. And know that our friendship doesn't end here. I will always be here for you guys. I love each of you so much. And now I would like to ask our graduates, starting with Jarrett, to come up and share a little bit with us about their own faith journey and their time here in the youth ministry at Calvary.
I'd like to start by thanking the Lord, my family, this church, and also Alex Bracey for being such a huge part of my life and also in my spiritual growth. And I would say some of my favorite memories for sure came from our youth mission trips. And I was fortunate enough to go to Belize with Calvary twice. And them trips are for sure really eye-opening opportunities, and they get you out of your comfort zone. And they also just let you see stuff that you don't see every day here in Mount Airy. And today I'll be talking about the verse I chose, which was 2 Corinthians 4:18. And it says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." And I think what Jesus is trying to tell us when he says that what is seen is temporary is that no matter how hard you try to build yourself up or anything like that, it's not going to matter in the end. It's just your relationship with him. And personally, I believe he is trying to tell me that I don't have to try to be something to anyone, but more just give it all to him and let him guide me through my life. I think this verse shows that Jesus doesn't care about the clothes you wear, the way you look, or anything on that line. He only cares about our personal relationships with him. And that has been said countless times by Alex in our lessons. This verse will affect my daily life. I would say the answer to that is that I can always remember that I don't have to try to impress anyone, or because that's not going to make any differences in the end. He's not going to care about that. And I chose this verse because when I was reading through all the verses, this one really just popped out, and I felt like it was a good template for how we should be basing our lives off of. And that's all I have. Thank y'all for y'all's time.
Hey, so the verse that I chose was Mark 11:25, and it says, "Whenever you stand praying, forgive, and if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you and your trespasses." And what I got from that is that Jesus is trying to make us understand that we're no better than anyone else. You know, we're all the same. Every sin's the same. And that, not saying that I'm better than anyone else, because definitely we all have our sins, but forgiving someone who doesn't deserve the time of day or even always does it to you and it always happens time and time again, that's exactly what God wants us to do. He wants us to forgive. And I get caught up sometimes in the earthly feelings of the, "Are you kidding me? This always happens. This is never going to end." That it shows me how empathetic God is. That he's kind and understanding, but he's not going to feed into our pity. He raises us to a higher standard to choose those to forgive and to love rather than be consumed by our own interests. I'm currently dealing with a situation like this where I feel almost helpless in the fact that forgiving this person won't ever change. But after writing this, I realized that forgiveness isn't always for the other person. It can help me let go of the situation because I'm not God. I don't decide if people go to heaven or hell based on their sins. And so that slowly learning to forgive through Bracey is just helping everything grow my understanding for love for God in the next chapter of my life. But through the mission trips that we do with Bracey and even outside of the youth group, the small stuff matters. Like talking to Bracey after Sunday school or even just texting him always helps. I think all the little kids left. But really, if you have kids, make them go to Sunday school. Make them interact with Bracey because he will help 120%. They won't always come to you over stuff, but they will come to Bracey, I promise. Thank you.
As a young kid, our family didn't go to church much, maybe on special occasions. When I found out about youth from a close friend, I immediately wanted to go just because I just wanted to hang out with my friends longer. When I got there, I was very shy. I really didn't know what to do. Alex made me feel welcome and loved. As I got older and started to understand more about the gospel and how it's a life or death situation if I know God or not, I realized it was a big deal and that all gospel stories has reflected on things that happen in my life every day, and I didn't even notice. My favorite gospel story is what I call a true vine, verses John 15, 1 through 17. It says, I'm a true vine, and my Father is a gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is my Father's glory, that bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as they loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father, I made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This command, love each other. My favorite verse in the story is John 15:5, where it says, if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Every day in my life, I feel like adversity hits me in some way, and I couldn't get through each day without living through him. I believe that shows how much a struggle of life would be if I didn't accept him into my heart, July the 7th of 2016. That's the best decision I've ever made in my entire life. Still to this day, I go through life with him, transforming my words and my life towards him. As a high schooler, I may not always do the right things or have the right attitude or mindset towards someone. And also, as I start another journey after school, I might not do things right, but I promise to my youth group, my family, my friends, that I'll strive to be the best person through Christ I can be.
Thank you guys so much for those words. That's a really hard thing for these kids to get up here and do. And they have no help at all. I mean, I kind of give them a direction to go in, and then they have a few weeks to do it, and they just show up here. And it always somehow turns out amazing to hear what they have to say and to talk about their faith to you guys in a real way.